My name's Ollie Taylor, and I'm here at Gloucestershire Archives with John Davis. And John's very kindly brought in some Fielding and Platt photos for us to talk about this morning. John, looking at the photo that we've got in front of us at the moment, what is happening in this photo and where is it?
Well, my guess is it was down at the Steel Company of Wales, because we made, I think, one of the biggest baling machines that we'd ever made. And I think there's a picture on in a record somewhere of a car body being loaded in, and that was on one occasion where we did some testing at Fieldings. And but this is obviously taken its site, and there's a lot of railway sidings, obviously bringing in scrap metal. And here's a closed like control room here with a huge control panel. You can't actually see the scrap baling machine. I can see a few railway trucks and a whole pile of scrap. But the man at this at the bit of a huge control desk looks a bit more elegant than some of them. One of them we saw in a previous picture. And the gentleman operating the controls there is a gentleman called Wilf Gardner, who many people remember. But once again, very clever man. And he's obviously gone through the business of operating the machine. But it was a big fella, no doubt about it.
You can tell the size of the machine, even though you can't actually see it, from the amount of scrap that you can see out the windows and the fact that they needed railway tracks to manage and move all this scrap around is really indicative of how large this baler must have been. Thinking about Wilf, who we can see in the photo, what do you remember of him?
Once again, he was a fitter. Then he became like what we called exceptions engineers, and he was a guy who would go to site and be responsible for the erection and commissioning of a machine. But as you say, there's a colossal amount of scrap material. Makes you wonder where it all comes from. But at least back in those days, it was melted. Once it was, of course, it was scrap baled for movement purposes. It was obviously took up a lot less space than had it not been baled. But it would have gone to our own steelworks to be melted down and used again. Whereas nowadays, of course, it probably goes to China or Russia or somewhere like that. That'd be the big difference. A great pity that it is.
And the Steel Company of Wales, John, was that a client that you had a lot of dealings with at Fieldings?
Not that I recall. I could be corrected, of course. It's probably on lots of things that I've mentioned. But no, I don't. Apart from that big scrap baler, I can't recall any. Of course, what was always said that we made our scrap balers too well and they lasted too long, whereas there were competitors who did a much cheaper baling machine, but they didn't last so long. But if people only had a limited amount of money to spend, then they would go perhaps for the cheaper variety, because ours used to go on and on and on. They were made to last. Whether any still around the country now or not, I just wouldn't be able to say.
I can well imagine that there will be Fielding balers around the country still working. Thinking about who your competitors were, though, John, who were your main rivals in terms of making scrap metal baling presses? Can you remember?
I think the straightforward answer to that, Ollie, is no, I just cannot. But there were a few, I know. They were only like relatively small companies, as I recall, but that's about all I can say, I think.
That's fine, John. And is there anything else that you'd like to add about this photo, about Wilf, or about Fieldings and scrap balers generally?
No, I can't remember too much about Wilf. I know he was a straight-talking guy who didn't sort of stand any nonsense. But other than that, I can't really say any more about him. I'm sorry.
That's all right, John. If anyone else listening to this does have anything to add about this photo, about the balers, or Wilf himself, then please do add a comment.